Blog Talk Radio. We're going home, guys.
Hello, Rapture-centric family. This is Michelle speaking. Hopefully everyone is doing well. And I just want to say welcome to Rapture-centric church, where Jesus is the pastor, and we are here to glorify him and share how he is working in our lives. If you have any dreams, visions, words from the Lord, or just something that the Lord is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. So just want to say welcome to everyone calling in, or if you're listening in the archives right now, welcome. Welcome to everyone in the chat room. We have, we have some guests. Welcome. And then we have Andre, which is the song we just played, it's written and sung by him. So welcome, Andre, and welcome, Alana. Welcome, Rosemary, and welcome, Rhea. So just want to say hi to everyone, and I'll open us up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the provision you provide to us, whether it be emotional, physical, spiritual. Thank you, Lord, for providing for our needs and for giving us encouragement as we wait on you to return for us. So thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you, Lord, for your flirts, and thank you, Lord, for coming to get us as we so much anticipate seeing you, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for most of all of your sacrifice on the cross, dying for our sins so that we can spend eternity with you. And we just want to say we love you, Lord, and we cannot wait to see you, Lord. So we are super excited to see you, Lord. So, and we hope we get to see you today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I really feel like the time is now. And before I forget, I got to share some stuff that Judy wanted me to share with you guys. She's out with her sister right now, and she won't be back in until later on this evening. But let's see. She had an earthquake dream last night, and then let's see. She woke up and discovered that there was a few earthquakes at the same time as her earthquake dream around her area, even so. The Lord is flirting with her by giving her earthquake dreams. And let's see. Oh, yeah. And then she had some stuff about Joe and Katie. They're in Vermont now, and I guess they are moving into a new house. I guess one that has cell phone coverage. And apparently they're moving in today, but they may call in tomorrow to share what's going on with them. So we look forward to hearing from them. And Judy was saying that Katie is getting a lot of prophetic dreams indicating that we are leaving now. So can't wait to hear about that. And I think that was it. And let's see, as far as me, like I shared last night, I have been holding hands with Jesus as I've been going to sleep. So that's been comforting. And right now I just kind of feel in the state of I have a peace about me, which is that the Lord is coming. It's now, and that no matter what crazy situations happen, that the Lord has my back. So I'm protected no matter what, regardless of Ebola, ISIS, whatever problems, I know I'm protected. So that is giving me peace. Yeah, at the same time, I'm feeling this urgency, like, hurry up and get here, Lord. I want to see you now. I don't want to wait till later. So kind of a combination of peace and just this anxiousness to see the Lord. So the Lord has definitely been teaching me patience, and as I'm sure he's with all of you guys too. And but we just gotta, in times like these, just hold on to his promises. He promised to come back and get us. Several people he gave personal words to that he's coming back, and so, and then also scripture says he is coming back. And so we are to comfort each other with these words. So he's still coming. So, and the signs even point to it in the world. ISIS, Ebola, quakes, everything points to pretty much that we are in the end times. And what Keith shared last night was very encouraging, what the Lord is revealing to him about the blood moons. And then I also thought Carol's response to it, he got that email, was also very encouraging as well. She was saying that she is feeling that the rapture, that our elopture is, let's say, I guess, in the feast or in tabernacles, which she's saying she looked up and it lasts for 7 days, starting at the blood moon. So let's see, that would take us to about the 14th, 15th time frame. And then she was watching John Hagee, and he was saying that the Feast of Trumpets is actually 8 days after the blood moon. So that would take us to the 16th time frame. So definitely interesting, and I've been thinking about that. And I definitely think this weekend is a very high watch weekend as far as our departure, the elopture. And that fits into with what she was shown. And I was thinking about maybe the if John Hagee is right about Feast of Trumpets being 8 days after the blood moon, then and I was also thinking, and if that lasts for 3 days, then and people have been getting words about the third day. Well, maybe the rapture is on the third day of the Feast of Trumpets, which would say if it starts on the 16th, that would put it about the 18th. So, and if that's the case, if that's around the time of the rapture, then that means we pretty much, since a lot of people are shown 7 days or so between elopture and the rapture, that means we pretty much have to be leaving now, today, tomorrow, Sunday at the latest. So, yeah, definitely exciting stuff. And also, I've been in the garage a little bit, as you can tell. And I was thinking about the whole 113 thing. Someone brought up that that means that number means the rapture. And so I was thinking with that date that I just mentioned in mind. And then I thought about the 628. Jerry got strong feelings about that. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, but I think he got the message about the message of time on 628. So let's say if you, the 113 countdown, say if you start it on 628, you actually end up on the last day, or the 113 ends on the 18th of this month. So that would line up with what I was just talking about. So, and also another thing I had in my mind was we are in the seventh month on the Hebrew calendar. And the number 7 represents completion. And then, let's see, the next month, which starts the 8th month on the Hebrew calendar, which starts around the October 24th or so, the 8th represents new beginnings. So if we aren't gone in the 7th month, then you would think in the 8th month that we would be gone, because new beginnings, I mean, that definitely sounds like a rapture, in my opinion. New beginnings, beginning of the tribulation, perhaps. And then number 9, I guess, 9th month represents judgment. So that may fit in with our rapture, our departure. So I just thought I wanted to share that. And let's see. And also today I was on my devotional and I was reading, and basically it was about worrying about the future, but depending on God, trusting in Him to get you through your problems. And then I was inspired to look at, let's see, I think it was Proverbs 91. So it's fairly short, so I could go ahead and read that. We're actually discussing that last night on the show, so kind of interesting that I felt led to read that today. Let me find that first. Oh, wait, maybe it wasn't. Okay, hold on. My mind is in the fog. Maybe it was Isaiah. I actually don't remember now. Okay, when I remember, or Psalm 91. Sorry, not. Okay, let me turn to that now. Okay. Safety of abiding in the presence of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, yeah, we have protection in the Lord, so nothing to fear. So I just wanted to leave you with that passage. And I got an email forwarded to me of some passages that Pat had, although I think she may have called in. So if she wants, I'll let her share those passages with you. But I guess I'll go ahead and start unmuting people now. Let's see, we have 317. I think that's Jerry.
That's me.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm going upstairs right now, but I'm okay. I'm just fine.
Oh, cool.
You're right about that timing thing. It was actually June 28th, but it was a huge, huge thing because of the way that that played out. And my daughter, he had pointed me to that, and then my daughter had was in a show. It was all about time was the theme, and then she sang the song Tonight and Now and Forever, or the song from Frozen, which was For Now and Forever or something like that.
Oh,
And
okay.
then anyway, that was a pretty big night.
Yeah,
So it was,
definitely.
there was all kinds of wild things about that, the way that it played out, and I don't even remember them all right now, but it was more than just a date. It was a pretty big marker, and then he reminded me of it, and also July 28th, and that relates to Pentecost, which I think he was showing me sets of 50. And I still haven't kind of decoded all of it, but I'm not exactly sure where he was leading me with that, but unforgettable for sure, June 28th.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just, you know, I go back to the garage every once in a while, actually frequently, but there's so many different things, and we'll just have to see how he wants to wrap this up. I think he'll give clues and he'll give us some better understanding, but we'll just have to see how he uses it. One thing I know he did is, as he often actually does, that particular daughter, he usually gives her things that she'll mention to me, and then they'll have additional meaning to me, and that's exactly what that situation was like. So we'll just see.
Okay, cool.
And otherwise, I just know we're here waiting. Personally, he's got me in a good place today, just relaxed, and I really feel like we've got, you know, it is, especially this week with Tabernacles and everything, there's just so much urgency, and so, and the theme of Tabernacles fits exactly really what we're looking at. So, looking for, which is the works of God, it's called the Festival of the Ingathering, which is both a harvest festival, but it's also one of the times when everybody would meet in Jerusalem. And so we'll just see what he does. But even I'm trying to remind myself on which day. The day that he has had me looking at is actually the 11th, which is the third day of the festival. And because that's a day that's specifically mentioned in Scripture. Not every one of these days is, but that is one that is. Yeah, I haven't tried to really put everything together so much. He's had me kind of looking at other things and just kind of really responding to more of spiritual leadings, feelings of things and concepts, not so much dates, but lately. But honestly, there's just been enough and that I haven't had a chance to poke through everything. That's been true mostly for quite a while now. And so I just kind of wait and see. You know, I know that the end of the Feast of Tabernacles is really interesting. And also, for obvious reasons, the 15th is the 21st of the Hebrew month, which is kind of interesting. And that's the last day of Tabernacles. And then there's what they call the eighth day, which is either that day or the day afterwards, depending on how you interpret their tradition. And it's a separate holiday, but it's related but separate. And when you read the description, it's a little hard to figure out, okay, how is it related? It's obviously related, but then how is it separate? And it's separate mostly because it's different. And it's a day where they do not traditionally eat in their little temporary booths or tabernacles the way they would throughout the other 7 days.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. Fun stuff. He's got us definitely on alert. And
yeah.
Oh, and also, just for throwing it out there, the 13th is technically the last day of Julian September for those considering. Yeah. So a lot of things that are overlapping. And you know, Carol really had some strong experiences about the blood moon. And you know, maybe it's our 7-day warning, because that's exactly 7 days before the ending of Tabernacles. So
yeah,
we just have to kind of work through these things. There's a lot out there, and we'll just have to see. what he does, but I do think we're going to continue to get bleedings and increased, urgencies and that kind of thing, because that's what we have seen, first of all, already. And it looks clear to me that he's, how can I say, leading us to a little bit more refinement, and in many respects, probably just a greater understanding of defining of our group and who we are, and to maybe some degree a testimony for others as to what that's about.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, I'm just chilling today, and I was happy to do it because he's had me in some uncomfortable places in the last several days. And, you know, the truth is, I'm not super patient myself, you know. So sometimes I just have to conquer that, and he kind of takes me back through it. And because we're believing in how he's led us, but he's also, you know, we've seen so much growth. And I remember months ago, we had praise and worship and prayer night, and immediately when we went into that, he gave me a very brief vision and no other words. He said, that's it. And the vision was an image of a fishing net being drawn up and a few fish swimming out in and out of it, you know, as it's being drawn up. But a traditional fishing net has basically a loop around the outside edges of it. And as they draw it up, the first thing that happens is it's drawn closer and closer together. And so there's less and less space, and the fish are more and more compact and more uniform in what they're doing. A few swim in, a few swim out of the net, and before the net is taken up, the fish are tightly held in that net in a much closer way to each other. And I really, really do feel I've been seeing that over the last few months, how he's really increased the leading in so many of us. And I've seen growth and evolution from where people were, and some of those of us who were more challenged. He has sustained us in ways that we didn't anticipate in our individual circumstances. And it's been very, it's been, you know, a little bit scary, I think, for a lot of us. But at the same time, looking back on it, it's amazing how he has gotten us to where we are. And I, in my case, I'm like, well, okay. I really didn't expect, really, in certain respects, to be here under these circumstances, but he's had so much provision in the face of the challenges we know that we are, you know, are living in, that we can imagine maybe going a little farther out there. And I actually take that as a sign of great encouragement, because, and I'll compare it to Jesus and Little John's vision of us. While we're racing and, you know, we're running and cross the finish line, and, you know, but we fall over the finish line, but we're on our feet and we're animated and moving. And I think we're actually something Judy and I discussed, something she said recently to me made me think of the last kick, you know, when you're running a race. And, you know, there's this last little oomph to push out the last amount of energy, the last amount of focus, the last extra burst just before the finish line. And I believe that's where we're at right now. I really do.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that.
And just see what the provision is, you know.
Yeah.
Just see. So if I sent you a note, I was actually trying to load a song into the studio, and then other things came up and I didn't get logged out, Michelle. So I'm sort of trying not to upset the apple cart, and I logged in in the other chat, but I'm sort of not logging out. And as long as everything's working for you, then I'm just going to leave it alone because I don't want to mess with what works. But if you do have any issues in the studio, just mention and then I'll log out and we'll try to work it out that way.
Okay, cool. All right.
Sometimes I just wonder, since I was already in there, I was like, I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah. Let's see. All right, if you're done sharing, I'll go ahead and mute some other people. Let's see, we have 818, which is either Tana or Keith. I guess I'll unmute both 818. So hello,
hey,
Tana and Keith.
Hi, everyone. Love you guys.
Hi, love you.
Love you, Michelle, Jerry, Tana, everybody.
Hi, you two. Tana and Keith. Love you.
Anything new with you two?
Yeah. Well, I hope everyone read that thing that I sent that thing yesterday by email. I'm sure a lot of everybody got it about the timing in heaven, half an hour, when John sees and hears something, and he's actually hearing the rapture occurring, and that it's at the sixth seal, and we're at the sixth seal now. So I hope everybody got that. It was just such a powerful thing, the vision originally with the horsemen, and then now this stuff. And, you know, the Lord showed me that Ebola was going to wipe out one-fourth of the world, and now it's starting to, you know, things are starting to roll with that, which is the timing for us to exit, you know. There was that, in Spain, that woman, the nurse, who touched the patient. She touched his glove to her face, and then she got Ebola. And then now they have her hairstylist being monitored in the hospital and a bunch of other people. So it's the first non-case that was outside of Africa that somebody got spread that way. So it's going crazy. But, again, it just reminds me of the urgency of the hour. You know, and I also sent Kevin Morassi's thing that he put out today. I sent that to everybody. That's a wonderful, you know, I know a lot of people say we're going now, but when Kevin Morassi has only mentioned the rapture one other time in his visions from God. So last time he said the rapture is soon, and now he's saying that it is very, very soon at the door because the tribulation is about to start. So I just thought that was just really, I was just like, you know, Lord, what's going on? Are we going home? What's happening? And then all of a sudden, he led me to Kevin Morassi's thing, and so I really was really encouraged by that, you know. I'm just doing a lot of research on the events, and God just keeps giving me prophecies and visions about them. He did this a couple of years ago when we were about to be raptured, but then we went to heaven for 8 hours and got delayed. So he's starting up again with the prophecies with me. So usually they're out of the blue and some kind of vision or something. So I'll continue to share those and stuff. You know, it's very exciting for when he gives me that stuff, because I don't consider myself a prophet by any means, but to get prophecies that are coming true has always been an extra gift of mine that I love. I'm very excited to do that for the Lord, you know. So, Tana, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just lying here because I have to go to work in like a few minutes, but I'm just chilling, taking a nap and listening.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, we were definitely very encouraged by your word yesterday, Keith.
Cool.
At least I was.
Yeah, I got a lot of really positive response, especially on Facebook. A lot of people are on my Facebook commenting on it and stuff, you know. You know, everything I don't get stuff every day, but when I do get stuff, I post it, and it's usually pretty powerful stuff, you know. And I'm always very he hasn't really given me the timing yet, but he's given me the events, and he's given me the structure of how they'll occur, when, you know, that kind of thing. So he's showing me the horsemen, showing me all this stuff. So the events are there, and that to me is giving me one little glimpse closer to putting the puzzle pieces together. Last time, in 2012, he put all the puzzle pieces together for me, and I said, oh, the rapture's going to be here. Then he delayed it. This time he's starting to show me puzzle pieces again, so that will, you know, he doesn't usually show me the actual rapture piece, but all the rest are putting together in the puzzle, and I can figure the rest out. So that's what he's doing. So it's really exciting, yeah. So stay encouraged, everybody.
Yeah, Keith, I like that a lot, too. I think we're definitely seeing these things, all the groundwork being laid, and even an acceleration since the Blood Moon with the Ebola stuff. And who knows? Who knows? I don't think that they can be. Go ahead.
That thing you got about the fish was just so profound and prophetic. Oh, my gosh. That was, like, amazing. It was so amazing. I thought so much stuff in that, and how the fish are being pulled up. Some are falling away. The rest are being pulled safely in the net. The ones that are in it are being uniformed to work as a body, to be taken up together. It's like on and on. That was, thank you for sharing it. That was awesome.
Yeah, you know, that was a long time ago, and I mentioned it at the time, but it was such a simple little thing, and I'm like, okay. I mean, I knew that he had shown it to me, but it was this very simple image and concept. But since then, over the last few months, it's been amazing to watch it play out. And he keeps bringing it back to my mind. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're definitely seeing it. Definitely.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and unmute 985. Welcome, 985.
Hey, it's Ben.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hey, man.
Doing all right. I could share a little something humorous that happened today, but I'm probably just going to mostly listen and chime in once in a while. But this is like, you know, I was sitting there watching videos on heaven today and stuff, and then, like, when I got done, immediately I looked over on my desk, and the first thing I saw was satisfaction guaranteed. I was like, wow, okay. Thank you for that one. But, yeah, for me, I just been – well, I had a really great day today up until, like, the past few hours ago and stuff. But, yeah, I had to take myself out of a Facebook group and stuff. You know, people, they just love to argue. And I don't like to argue, but, I saw a sister in Christ there who was really needing some encouragement. I tried to give it to her. And those, what you call them, swine is out there trying to, you know, you don't cast pearls before swine and stuff like that. Swine's out there just trying to just eat everything up, you know, just, like, destroy people. Satan's really out to try to do everything he can in these last hours. And so there's actually a lot of Facebook groups and places you can go on a fellowship that actually aren't good to fellowship in. But I think a bunch of y'all are in this one group called This Is It Prophecy and Events. That's a good one. I think I invited Roman there, and I'm not sure if some of y'all were already in there, but then later on I discovered, like, some more of y'all were in there. So I don't know if y'all just you know, if he invited y'all or whatever, but that's a really good one. But there's these other ones that has like 6,000 members or 2,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that's a big red flag. You know, you don't have that many people who are really looking. You know, cause a lot of people think that you just need to, you know, and just invite every Tom, Dick, and Harry to come inside of a group. And it, you know, it's just going to be annoying. Well, maybe it is for a little while, but then after a while, you know, the devil can use some of these people to come in and try to steal, you know, something that, you know, something good. So I've seen a lot of that happen. I was like an administrator of this one group. And, oh, my God, like a year or two ago, it got to the point where it just got out of control. Everybody demanded that don't kick anybody. I'm like, well, what's the point? I'm an administrator. I'm supposed to delete posts. Anyway, they just let it get out of hand and just let people come in there and just do what they want to. So I was like, bye, guys. You can have this. You know, y'all want to do what you want to with this group. I'm not, you know, see you. You know, because there's too much of that online. You know, in these last hours, we just need to be more, you know, separating ourselves from stuff like that, you know, because, you know, Satan's going to try everything he can to get you distracted and, you know, everything like that, you know.
I mean, those groups are, you know, there's a lot of Facebook groups, and if you ever, you know, I just start looking at what's written there, and if somebody's trying to brawl, I always remember on Facebook that, you know, the Lord has showed me very clearly over the years, whenever we get rapture, high watch, people start brawling, the spirit of brawling and all kinds of distraction. He would tell me last year the spirit of distraction was on the bride, and, you know, the thing is, when your says you're accountable for it. So if you can let anybody come on your page and they can type whatever they want. But if you don't like those comments, then delete them. People go, gosh, you don't understand. I sent you a wonderful message, but you hid the message. Why'd you do that? I said, well, because mine is about news and end time events, and I loved your message, but it's for me and you and not for everybody, you know. And other times I'll just delete them. And said, I don't mean anything offensively. I just don't want it on my Facebook. You know, you're accountable for your Facebook. So if you're letting people get on there and brawl on your Facebook, then you're going to be accountable for Jesus to that. He told me that. You cannot have people swearing, cussing, growling over the rapture on your Facebook page and think that's representing Christ. It's not. So don't for some reason on Facebook, people forgot the delete button. They almost feel like it's a law that they have to let everything written stand. And that's, I don't know where people forgot that they can't delete something. You know, if you find yourself arguing with somebody, then I say cut and run. And I'll go, okay, you know, this happened last year. I was getting into it with somebody. I said, Lord, I'm repenting for this. I'm deleting everything I wrote on here. I'm going to repent and cut and run. So I just deleted everything I wrote, and that's it. I'm not going to go back on there with that person, you know. So if you find yourself doing that, don't leave your comments on there. Delete them, repent, and walk away from it. And after a while, you'll start to recognize brawling quicker and quicker and quicker, you know. But let other people brawl. No need to, you know, always think about if you post a comment, will it encourage brawling or will the person really take it to heart? And if they don't take it to heart, then just delete it. Sometimes I'll write 3 or 4 comments that will help people. So the Lord will put on my heart to do it, which is rare. So I'd usually shy away from that. But then they'll start brawling, and then I just delete it and go, okay, whatever, they didn't get it, you know.
I don't even read comments on mine. If people comment, I don't even read them. I just leave them. I don't comment. I just leave them like, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to tell some of these people, like, kind of be aware of your audience. That's why I said something at all, because, you know, she really needed some encouragement, but she didn't know that she was talking in front of a bunch of wild hyenas and stuff, you know. And I'm just like, oh, I don't want to comment, but look, I want to help her out. She needs, you know, some fellowship, somebody to talk to her. But that wasn't really what I was, just wanting to share a Bible verse with her to encourage her and stuff about what she was talking about. And yeah, it didn't turn out good. But it didn't turn out good because I was sitting there arguing. It just didn't turn out good because the vipers, you shook the bush up and the snakes come out. You know, they just all come out of hiding. They don't ever comment, ever contribute anything, but they'll sit back and perceive, you know, just sit back and just wait for this moment, like the Pharisees waiting to try kind of trap Jesus in something, just be like, you know, come out and attack. That's all they do, is just sit back and wait when their time comes, and then they just launch an attack on people. And I just, you know, I didn't want to talk bad about everybody in there, so I didn't really go on a spill about, hey, did you know the people in, there's too many people in here, and most of these guys don't, you know. I just left the thing, you know. So it's unfruitful to sit there and,
yes,
you know.
You have your usually Facebook is you've got your pre-tribbers and your post-tribbers come in and start throwing darts at them, you know. And I've had, you know, I get always private messages from my YouTube channel, like a lot of us have. And, you know, I'll get people that will email me and say, Keith, we're going through tribulation, brother. So you're wrong and you're a false prophet and you're evil and blah, 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 blah. And I'll email it back and I'll say, well, everything you said, let me tell you, part of what you said is true, because you are definitely going through tribulation because you don't believe in the rapture, so you're going, so there you go. Good luck. See you later. You know, I mean, when someone says that we're going to the tribulation, Lord always reminds me, yeah, many times that person is going to the tribulation. It's not for everyone else. It's for them. If they are a post-tribber and they believe they're going to be tortured and going through tribulation, then they're going to be, because they don't want to see the Lord earlier than that. So, you know, so remember that too. A lot of those post-tribbers want to change your mind, but I say, yeah, you're right, and I'm right. You're going to tribulation, I'm going up to heaven first. You know? So, but mostly it's the post-tribbers trying to, you know, they're trying to wrestle down the pre-tribber. And it's interesting because usually you don't see the pre-tribulation people posting videos against post-tribbers. You usually never see the pre-tribbers attacking the post-tribbers. It's always the reverse. Those post-trib people, they line up in wolves, you know, they get together their pack, and they go devour the pre-tribbers, you know. But it's not the reverse, because of the fact that, you know, and you don't see dreams from the Lord on post-trib rapture. So that's usually that main battle on Facebook, which I'm just laughing at some of the things you're saying, Ben, about the the comments about the people here. You're describing them, because it's so true.
Yeah, it is. And it's exactly what you're saying. Like, you don't really see, but you see a lot of superstition on the post-tribulation heresy forums and stuff like that. But this is why there's two different words here. There's love and there's tolerance, and they have two different definitions. Yeah, I tolerance up to a certain point is okay, I guess, but, you know, just to tolerate every little thing and never stand for something, I mean, that's actually what's wrong with a lot of churches, you know, because used to when the church started, you know, like these four-walled buildings and stuff, it was a place for people to assemble. They didn't have the internet. It was for them to fellowship with each other, kind of like what we're doing right now. And, you know, studying the Bible or, you know, sharing, you know, they had a lot of awesome things happen back then too, you know, people, you know, but it's like, and some people came in and said, you know what, guys, we need to, you know, and what they did was, you know, they assembled together and then they went out into the world and preached or shared the gospel, witnessed to somebody, whatever, however the Lord led them. That, you know, I don't know exactly everything they did, but that's really how it started out. And then it got to the point where, you know, people started saying, well, I don't want to go out into the world. Let's bring the world into here and let's start preaching these watered down messages so we don't offend anybody. And so now we have, you know, you see the results today. And the same thing happens with Facebook groups. Everybody's like, well, we need to witness to these guys. Yeah, but, you know, how about we witness to them on the side? We're here to, you know, serve the Lord, to fellowship with each other and, you know, worship him and stuff. You know, we don't, not to argue. And anyway, that's just some people just, they just think, you know, because we need to be loving, we just need to lay down and tolerate everything. No, I mean, there's a time to stand up and there's a time to, you know, there's a time for everything, you know, but yeah, I noticed a lot of what you said, you know, the post-tribulation heresy forums and stuff, they got a lot of superstition all over and a lot of misinterpretations of the Bible too, you know.
Yeah,
that's what's important, you know. If you read the Bible without the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, if the Holy Spirit can't, you know, help you understand what's on in the Bible, you're going to have the Bible out of context. And that's what a lot of people do. You know, they, you know, like this one guy, you know, people were having dreams and visions and stuff. And somebody was saying, you know, I want some dreams and visions and stuff like that. And this post-tribulation guy, he got up and said, you know, he quoted the verse of the Bible where Jesus said, an evil generation seeketh after a sign. But he had it out of context. Yeah. He was talking to the Pharisees. Yeah, because the Pharisees were telling him, if you're – yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and since we only have about 12 minutes left, there's four other callers I need to let on.
Oh, let them on, Michelle. Let them on.
Let's see. We have another 317. Welcome.
Hey, Sarabelle. Yeah, I was – I realized I was still muted, but I had wanted to ask Keith if he could say a little bit more about when the Lord was delaying it or something like that. Because I was curious when he said it.
Say that again. What was that? I don't understand.
Because I think it was Keith. He was saying that something about he was getting a lot of signs, and then he said that then it was delayed. So I was wondering if he could say a little more about it.
Yeah, in 2012, the Lord told me the rapture was going to occur, and so I put it on my video. The Lord told me clearly, and that was the only date that he'd given, that it was going to occur. And then on that date, I saw 1,000 angels around my apartment, and then I went to heaven for 8 hours, saw the angel about to blow the trumpet, and it was held back. And he told me it was delayed. But last year he said it wasn't delayed, and it's not this year, so that was the message, basically.
Well, actually, thank you for that clarification.
You got it, honey. Yeah, go ahead, Michelle.
All right, let's see. We also have 386. You're unmuted if you'd like to talk, 386.
Hey, Tomahawk. Hey,
hi,
Sarah,
who is
this? Should be Tom. Thomas.
Oh, hi, Tom. You're unmuted if you would like to say anything. And then we have Grandma Pat.
Hi.
And then we have, hi. And then we have
Happy
Leah.
Happy birthday, Pat.
Oh, thank you, loves. Thank you.
Love you. Happy birthday. We're sending you
happy
cake
birthday.
In the mail.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Don't remind me, I'm 71.
We just made you a big cake, Pat.
Oh, thank you.
We have all the fixings
on it. It's a good
day
to be raptured, right?
Yes. You can have a piece right now and everything. There's whipped cream everywhere. All for you and all the gifts, too. Love you.
Thank you, sweetie. Yeah, I have Lana later if you want me to read that to you. It's really good. But get everybody on, and we can do that even later, you know, if we run over, you know. And there were some Bible verses just to encourage and lift everybody up. They're just little ones, you know. But we can do it later if you want to get others on. Yeah, I don't want to.
Let's see.
Yeah.
We also have Leah online. Hi.
Hey, Leah.
Hello, how are you?
Hi,
hey,
sweetie,
Leah.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Love you, Leah.
Love you, honey.
I was out today, and I was having a refrigerator move from my mother-in-law's house, and the mover, who I'd never met before, came in, and then, you know, they were starting to move the refrigerator, and then one of the guys, like, came to me, and he goes, hey, did you know Jesus is coming back? And I just smiled so big, and I was like, yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
Wow.
That's
way
to go.
Wow.
That's great.
You
yeah,
know they're
I
on the rapture train when they say that, you know? You know they're on the train.
Get them on. Get them on.
God.
It was awesome.
Cool. That's cool.
Let's see. We also have 819 on. I just unmuted you.
Hey, Michelle, it's Raina. I can't speak.
Hi,
I'm
Raina.
Almost here.
Hi, Raina.
Raina.
How are you?
Okay. How are you, honey?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
I'm just listening because I'm busy.
Okay.
But, you know, as authentic as we are, we need to listen, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, I'm listening. If I have
okay,
to talk, I'm just going to unmute.
Okay, sweetie.
Okay.
Well, glad you called in.
Yeah. Love to hear you.
So does anyone have any cool experiences from the Lord or anything like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This morning.
What happened, Pat?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's my birthday. So I woke up. Let's see. I went to bed at 10:15, but I keep the Lord company. So it was like 12:30. So I was like, go to sleep. Go to sleep. So I woke up and I'm like a nanosecond awake, and he says happy day, like really real cheerful, and I'm thinking I'm tired, I'm thinking in my mind I better answer the same way. He said, oh yeah, right, happy day, okay, right. And then he just gave me a big hug and a kiss, and then that song, that Jer Bear song came on, I'm Your Man, but it was all done in like a humorous kind of way. It was so funny. And I sat up and it was like 6:29, you know, in the morning, so I had to get out, I had to run around, but that was so funny the way he just said that, so cheerful. Like, I had no choice but to be cheerful because you couldn't be cheerful with him saying that. You know, to you. So that was so cute. It was just so cute, you know. But anyway.
Aww.
So sweet. So sweet. But he was so cheerful and happy with that, you know. But it was just how it just sounded through my spirit, like, happy day, you know, like, yeah, yeah, okay, happy day. Like, then I remembered it was my birthday. But he's so funny. Oh, goodness, I'm glad Judy gave a talk about how he acts sometimes because you never know. But anyway, other than that, I had Alana, but I don't want to, you know, it's a very good one, and I had a couple of Bible verses just to encourage us, you know, that I had heard on the TV this morning, you know. Oh, do we have to? Another funny thing that happened? I was listening to Joyce Myers, and I got Bible verses really, really good about how to control your thoughts and speak scripture out loud. It's so powerful. And then a show came on about something for the brain to make it work, made from jellyfishes. And I remember a long time ago, I said to the Lord, jellyfishes, what can you do with jellyfishes? And then somebody said there were 30,000. So I said to the Lord, 30,000 species of jellyfish? He says, what? And I said, what? Why are there so many jellyfishes? And he says, well, maybe one day I'll sit you down and I will name every one of them for you, you know? Like, okay, shut up. But they use it for painkillers? Yeah, and they use it for this protein for the brain, Prevagen or something. So I got a lesson on what you do with jellyfishes. So I said, right on, Lord. It makes you think better and it kills pain, so God bless you for making jellyfishes, you know? So it was just hysterical. So, you know, yeah. So he's cute. He's going to one day tell me all the species, just because I was just so, you know, like, why did you make 30,000? What are you going to do with 30,000 species of jellyfish? Like, what do you do with them? Oh, it was so funny. It was so funny. But anyway. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. but I got a good lesson on how to keep thoughts in check and, you know, be godly. It doesn't mean be a doormat, but, you know, just because I get upset with the kids sometimes, and I have to have a talk with the daddy, like I say, you know, and say, well, you know, he knows how I feel, but... But I love listening to Judy with all her escapades on the on that subject. That was hysterical. But I, oh, well, can I relate? And I guess a bunch of us can, too. But anyway, you know, so, yeah, so I don't know if you want me to read the Lana or you want me to just do a couple of Bible verses here that I just thought were kind of encouraging.
What were the Bible verses?
Okay, one is from Joshua. And it says, he's saying to Joshua the Lord, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. He says, do not let, he says, oh, here, down here, he says, then you will have prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then the other one over here was, I love this one. He says, do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandon you. But this is the next few verses are really good. But with deep compassion, I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. So that was the other verse. And the one over here was, it's just quick. It says about arguments and stuff like that. On the contrary, they have divine power to diminish strongholds. We demolish arguments, and this is from 2 Corinthians 10, and this is 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. And then over here quick, it was... let me see. If, oh, dear. I think, did I lose it? I can't find the, I think I lost the other one. But anyway, it was 2 Timothy. Did I get Timothy? It was, let me see here. Titus, here, yeah, 2 Timothy. Hold on one sec, because it just switched the page on me. Oh, my goodness.
Let's see, we have about 15 seconds until we go into podcast, so we can do our come.
Yeah, come, Lord Jesus, and
come
Lord Jesus. Yeah, okay. Okay, so it says here, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servants must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Is that good or what?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Oh, wow. That's just pure instruction for us. So I just wanted to read those scriptures to you. I do have Lana, but I don't know if you you want to do something else before I read this.
We actually had three callers call in about 5 minutes
okay, go
before
ahead,
we went into podcast. So I want to
okay.
do all three of them.
Okay.
We have 713. You're unmuted.
Hi, I just called in to listen to you guys.
Hi.
Hi, is this Debbie?
Yes.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well. I don't have any news. I just wanted to listen in on y'all.
Great.
Okay, cool.
I'm glad you're with us.
Yeah.
Love you, honey.
I love you, too.
And then we also have 413.
Hi, Alana. Love you.
Hey, Alana.
Hi, is this Alana?
You.
I guess
it is.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie.
thank you so much, Pat. I love that. I don't know where it was from. I've read it before. That is a beautiful scripture. Thank you, so uplifting.
Well, I thought it would be uplifting because, you know, we're all, you know how we all are right now. So I thought that would be a little uplifting.
I love that. I'm a woman who married in her youth, and so I've always particularly loved that.
Yes, I love that passage. I'm your husband, the God of the universe of earth. I'm your husband. Oh, bring it on. We're about to meet him.
I think this is so wonderful. Well, I just, you know, I'm just having fellowship with y'all, and I don't have anything that I'm prepared to kind of talk about right now. Although, guys, you know, first of all, girl, happy birthday, girl.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
And
thank you very
so
much.
Sweet for him to say happy day to you.
Oh, it was hysterical. He doesn't usually talk like that, like, happy day. It was like, okay, like, well, yeah, happy day. It's like I had to catch up to his mood, and I wasn't, like, in that mood. I was still kind of tired, but I followed it. It was, like, hysterical. It was hysterical.
Oh,
he was determined to make me happy. He was silly.
And what's funny, you know, because, you know, we share a birthday month, too.
Oh, so when is your birthday?
Of the 26th.
Oh, okay.
And
we'll have your party up there.
And I heard in my spirit when you were talking, I heard, and I have a birthday surprise for you, too.
Oh, he's so sweet. Jesus is so sweet. I mean, if you make him the Lord of your life and your husband and your best friend and your Savior and your God and your Father and your everything, he's there, and he's sweet. And you get to see, like Judy says, you see all these sides of him, which is so precious.
Yes, that's so true.
Yes, very precious. He, you know, yes, he can be, but he doesn't want to be that way with us. He doesn't have to be that way with us because he knows he's one of us. He has our hearts. We're totally his. So he doesn't have to worry about, well, what's she going to think when I say that? He doesn't have to think about that. He just, you know, we're right on board with him. We're flowing right in the water with him, right on the waves, you know. He doesn't got to worry about how we react because he knows. He knows.
Oh.
Yes, he knows. So be at peace. Be happy with him. He's my joy all day, all night. He's my joy.
He's there all
the time, like he is for all of us, every one of you guys. And he's sweet. Jesus is sweet. He says, what do you love about me most? I said, you're so sweet. I said, I love your sweetness. I just want to hold you and never let you go. I just want to gobble up all that sweetness. And we are to be that sweetness others. We are to
be
Jesus
Christ to
others.
What did he do for your birthday, Pat? Just
here with the kids and stuff. But it was just this morning. I had so much running around to do with Geraldine, and I'm giving out her meds now, guys. So she's so this has worked out pretty well. We pray together. So and sometimes it's like just keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. And I just have to let him work. And I can see if you obey, he loves obedience, guys. If you obey him and do what he says, then there's peace. He'll bring peace about things, and things are far more peaceful than they've ever been, you know. But just that this morning was so cute. Was just so cute, you know. But all day yesterday, I wasn't distressed, but at least seven times. I don't know. Maybe someone can understand this. He said to me, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" He must have said it seven times because I was kind of quiet and pensive. I don't always share, you know, I don't always let him know that I'm kind of feeling like, you know, not anxious, but, well, we all are. I mean, where are you? You should have been here. You know? But we don't
have to let him know because he knows you. Don't have to let him know because he knows you inside and out. That's why
I know.
I know.
But he'll just say, but you know, even my friend Oliver, at times he would call up And it's because the Lord is in him so much. And on the phone, are you all right? You know, don't be discouraged. I know it's Jesus talking to me through him, and he looks like him. So I am so blessed. Oh, my goodness, I can't be thankful enough, you know, that I have this wonderful friend. And he will just say, and twice he called up, because he knew I was going through a lot of problems with my marriage and everything. And he says, are you all right? Are you all right? Because he knew I had some really bad problems. And I would say, oh, yeah, I'm okay, just because he asked it. And I knew the Lord was asking it, you know, through him. Are you all right? And he says, the minute God senses I'm a little bit, not off in the moon, but a little bit, you know what I'm talking about. He'll say, out of the blue, in my head, so clear, are you all right? And I say, yeah. I said, you sure the right person's asking the question? He says, are you all right? So we go back and forth. Are you all right? I'm all right. You okay? It's crazy. He could be so sweet with you. But he's very concerned. If he senses the slightest thing, he'll say that. He'll say, are you all right? Like, you know, you want to talk about it. So what a joy we have. How blessed we are, family, to have God, like, right there, right in our face. You know, some of us see him, some of us don't. I have never seen him. But his presence is so strong. I know him more not seeing him than seeing him. Okay? Let's put it that way. Because he makes his presence so strong to you. You know, when you really just want him to be there for you, he's there. By golly, he's there. So I'm very blessed with that, and many of you are blessed with that too. You know, this wonderful presence of the Lord. And he's very sweet. He doesn't really have to ever get upset with me or whatever, because I'm like a little kid, you know, and I'm so little and simple that he treats with me differently. Maybe with someone else maybe like I'm thinking of Jerry or Keith or maybe one of the guys, even the girls too. He just can really get into stuff and deep thoughts and deep, you know, conversations about this, that, and the other thing. But I'm like a little kid, you know. I'm like a child bride almost. I'm like so simple that he deals with me at a different level altogether. You know, don't envy me because I'm not the shiniest apple on the tree, you know. But he's so different with everybody, and I think he's, you know, the man, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a woman. I always look at the man to be the head of Christ and be the strong one, and I've always felt that way, you know. And I just assume God will be, sits down with one of the guys. It's like he might get into a deeper thing about what to do and how to sell. But with the women, it's like, just be my spouse. You know, just love me. I'll take care of everything else, even in your life. Just love me. I'll be the man. And that's the song that came in my head, you know, after the hug. It was like that song came on, and I said, oh, you are something else.
You're playing the man in the relationship, that? Okay.
That song, I'll Be Your Man, the one that Jerry put on, that's the song that came into my head. He gave me a hug and a kiss, you know, but he was in a silly mood, and he played that song. Yeah, it's so sweet. But this is how he is with me. It's like, just be my spouse. Just love me. I'll take care of the heavier end of things. Like I said to you guys at one time, I said, when we hold each other for hours, and he's probably thinking about what he's going to do with Iran and ISIS and everything else, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to buy at the grocery store. I mean, total spouse kind of stuff, like just ridiculous, you know. But he takes the heavier end of things, and he just wants the love. He wants the snugglies. He wants the holding hands. And just the cuddly. He wants that from his spouses. I don't know. It's different. And I've had this for over 50 years. So I'm, you know, I can teach everybody before you get up there, so to speak. But yeah, it's like a romance, a constant romance. I mean, it never ends. We have quiet moments. Now, he's not speaking all the time. I mean, and you guys all know that. There are quiet moments, but it doesn't mean he isn't there. And then there's times where either one of us don't ever shut up and start talking. It's like just a pure relationship. You can enjoy the silence with him because you know that he hasn't gone anywhere, and he doesn't love you any less because he's not talking to you all the time. You know, it's like a sweetness in each other's presence. You know, he says, just look at me. He says, look at me for hours. He says, you give me glory just looking at me. He says, your direct touch with me is purifying you. He says, who is pure? Purify yourself in my blood. Just, you know, don't be afraid and just stay with me. Keep it simple. Keep it family. How I want to be part of the family. And let me be the first in your life. Always he's got to be our first love. Always. Always. You never have anybody above him, you know. And if you just really, yeah, and if you're so sincere with him, of course he's there, and of course you feel him, and of course you talk, and of course you do things together, and you don't leave each other. I mean, some of you are very blessed that you have seen the Lord. I've never seen him. I have seen his mother 3 times when I was suffering very badly, but I've seen his face flash once before me, and that's all. But his presence, I mean, I can feel, all right, if I'm laying down sleeping, I can feel something touch my head lightly or my shoulder or my back. I know he's there. I don't see him, but I know he's there, just like you guys, you know, what you've been sharing. You know, and it takes a little courage to share that because other people listen like, what? Yeah, he's there all the time, 24/7. You know, and if you ask him, he's going to
hold
you.
I'm
going to
go ahead and
feel that. Yeah.
I have one more person to unmute here. 661, you're on. 661, you're unmuted if you'd like to say anything. Or you can just listen. I think they have some background noise, so I may have to mute them.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, anyway, does anyone, let's see, Thomas, we haven't really heard from him. I think he's still on. Does Thomas, do you have anything to say?
Not really.
Hi, Thomas.
Hey.
Glad to hear you, Thomas.
Huh?
Glad
How
to hear
you.
Hi,
Tomahawk. Hi, Tomahawk.
Hey. I don't know. I've been
really tired.
Is
the Lord doing anything new with you?
Not really. I mean, the other night, while I was on the chat room on, yeah, I wasn't on Facebook, but he said, right here, right now. Those are the words he gave me.
Ooh.
So,
oh, cool.
Nice words.
Yeah, I think some of you might have heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what he said to me last night. I was muted, but at 8:21, he said soon and very soon. And he was very serious about it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's happening. I mean, we just have to hang on.
I just want to throw in real quick that probably that 661 is Sherry. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Oh.
So
hi, Sherry. We love you.
Sherry,
shout out to Sherry.
Sherry, where are you? Angel lady.
Hey, Sherry. I muted you again if you want to say anything, if that's you.
She might be driving.
I haven't heard from her in a while.
I know.
Well, we're all supposed to go down and help her shovel.
Yep.
Bring our shovels.
I just think I remember that normally she's working still, but maybe with the season changing, maybe she's starting to get away a little earlier. So.
Yeah, I wish she'd call in. Oh,
so,
love her so much.
Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. I think that's who that's going to be.
Okay,
I think
cool.
You're right, Gary. I think I remember that as being her area code, too.
Yeah, she's in Kentucky, right? Yeah. Somewhere like that. Sherry, talk to us.
Let's see. Well, does anyone have any more of like cool experiences with the Lord or anything like that they'd like to share?
I just have the llama thing. That's all.
Let's see.
I like the
if
ones
not,
that,
I can.
I like.
Go
I was
ahead,
just going to say I like the ones I just heard where everybody's being told soon and very soon or. I'm just say I like everybody else's. I don't need my own right now because I'll just take those.
Yes. Multiply that by a thousand. Multiply that by thousands.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Who's hearing from the Lord? All these people are hearing from the Lord because they love Jesus. Why wouldn't they hear from him? Why wouldn't he talk to them? I mean, hello. It's so simple. To me it is. If you love God, he's talking to you. You're talking to him like, hey, you know, and he's telling everybody, look at this world. I mean, how much worse does it get? I don't even think about it. It's horrible. And we were told it was going to be like this. And it is. It's now. So how is he not at the door? If he isn't at the door soon, we're going to open the door and go on anything. I'll fly his all up there. Oh, Lord, you're listening to us. We're crazy. Crazy in love. We just want to be with the beloved. That's all.
Crazy about
That's
you,
everything.
Lord.
Yes, yeah, crazy about him. Want to be with you.
Ben wanted to say something, right, Ben?
Yeah, go ahead.
What? I had my phone away from my head. Are you talking about me? I heard Ben or something.
I heard a male Southern accent say I was going to say something. Was that you, Ben?
Oh, no. I was wanting to ask Jerry, when was that 7-day wait over that he was talking about? It's like I really couldn't get all the details of what you're talking about. You said something about like a 7-day wait. Like, when does that end or start?
Well, what I was because, you know, we're in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles right now, and that started on the 8th, which was the Blood Moon Day. And really the 8th day after that is the last day of Tabernacles, which is also the 21st of the Hebrew month, Tishri. Anyway, so the last day of Tabernacles, which they call Hoshana Rabbah, and so I'm just pointing out that could have been a 7-day warning, since we're still here, and that is the last day of Tabernacles. And one of the things about Tabernacles is it's the Feast of Ingathering. It's both a harvest feast, but also a religious feast. And they are instructed to leave gaps in the roofing. The one thing that's strongly prescribed about the tabernacles, the little booths or tents or, you know, whatever they build, however you want to call it, people use all different kinds of materials, except the roofs are mandated to be some sort of natural material, like leaves or palm fronds or whatever. And one of these specific things is they're told to leave gaps. And I've actually seen pictures recently, and they weren't leaving gaps, but then that's the way it goes. But anyway, they're told to leave gaps so that they can see the works of God in the heaven, the works of God in heaven, in the skies, at night when they are in these booths. And typically the men sleep in these booths overnight. They eat in them, the entire family eats in them, the men sleep in them, the women sleep in their regular dwellings. But they're encouraged to leave gaps in these roofs so that they can see the works of God. And I believe that's going to be something spectacular, prophetic for him to do, so that they will recognize his power when the time comes. So that's the 15th of October, and then there's two other days after that, which are related but not the same as Tabernacles.
That's what I was thinking. The reason that's why I asked, because you said something like a 7-day wait, and then I was just thinking of, like, this blood moon happened on the 8th, 8 plus 7, 15. 15 is going to be the first day of October on the Julian calendar. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, you know, that's why I want a little something neat, a little tidbit of information right there. So I'm hoping we're gone before, you know, the October of the Julian calendar happens. So, I mean, if that's true, then we got 4 days remaining. So, hey.
Well, right now the Lord and I are not speaking about specific days because he told me not to. But he gave me a strong encouragement for this general time of year that we're in right now. But it's a broader time than we just discussed. It's more than a week. But there's, like I said at the beginning, I like Saturday and Sunday because the Saturday shows up in Scripture. In the Hebrew month, the 17th of Tishri. But but you never know. We haven't yet, anyway. Mm-hmm. And however, he definitely wants us to live in the frame of mind that it's today. And mm-hmm. and there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And he's encouraged us in a lot of different ways. And, you know, and I think we have naturally come to that quite a bit at this point. But he also, you know, the most recent experience I had with respect to dates is simply to be aware of the other things around us and not so much, you know, the traditional salvation evangelizing kind of an idea, but you know, taking care of things around us as he leads, by the way, because there's still things he's telling me I cannot do. He's been telling me he doesn't want me to do for months that I would rather do around the house because I'd feel better about it, but he doesn't want me to do them.
Amen.
So it's very specific, and but absolutely always remember the other blessings he's got in our lives. I mean, it's not like the only thing we can get from him or the only thing we experience from him is an encouragement about a date, because the reality is we've gotten a tremendous amount of provision and encouragement from him in so many ways that it's just completely undeniable. And we need to recall that and live in that too, not just mm-hmm. the encouragement for a given day.
Mm-hmm. Does 11-11 mean anything?
Yeah, it means I've mm-hmm. seen it a lot.
I'm looking at it right now on this message.
A lot and a lot and a lot.
About gifts in Hebrew 11:11. I mean, if you want me to read this message, I can. It's pretty good. You're going to like it. Because it hits to the heart what's
read
being said
that.
Here.
It's your birthday. You can do what you want today.
Okay, honey. She says, it's not over. It is closer. Now, this is a good message. The first three paragraphs are great. Hopelessness is brewing within many as they wait for the fulfillment of his promises. Hey, guys. Many have come to the point where they feel like it is over. What they believed for, what they sowed into, what they stood firm through trials for, has not eventuated. Disappointment has begun to creep in, and the intense struggle to give up. I saw many of the people of God so thirsty and so tired and on the verge of total abandonment to believing the promises of God for them anymore. I then saw the Lord come to those ones and grab their hands, and with such compassion he told them not to give up. It is not over, but closer than they realize. Many have waited years. Many have waited decades. And the enemy wants them to give up now because they are closer to walking in the promise than ever. Do not allow doubt from the enemy rob you of one of the greatest fullness of his promises that you have ever seen. Many of these fullness promises being waited upon are promises that are going to unlock doors of destiny. So the enemy is working hard to keep the people of God from walking into those promises because he does not want the people of God walking in their destiny. People of God, let us join together in unison and stand strong, believing in his faithfulness, and together we are going to see the victory of the Lord arise. Many have been feeling like Joseph in prison to circumstances and awaiting the breakthrough. Be encouraged, people of God, because as you have aligned yourself with him through the time of waiting, which has felt like such darkness, he has strengthened your roots deep in him and his love. There is a new strength within you that is not determined by feelings, but by his word and revelation, and he has placed that inside of you through the waiting. You will begin to see the strength manifested as you walk into the release. You have been stretched, prepared, and extended to carry what God is releasing through you in this next season. You may have felt like the imprisoned Joseph, but now Pharaoh is going to call for you. You are going to be released into the promises of God and new assignments for him in such an extraordinary way that is drenched in such favor that it will have his fingerprints all over it. To whom much is given, much is required. The preparation has been long and hard, but the release will show you why the preparation was long, because of what many are being entrusted with. This season has contained within it such a huge shaking upon the people of God, because he is shaking away all things not built in him, so that when you walk in the release, you are free from hindrance, totally reliant on him, upon him, and what is being built by him and sustained by him and not you. I saw the Lord take a deep breath and blow over his people, and rainbows fell from the sky. As they landed upon the people of God, they turned to gifts. The label on each of the gifts was Hebrews 11:11. There you go, Jerry. Sarah's faith embraced the miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. But the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness, Hebrews 11:11. As faith was rested in the one who made the promise by his people, the faithfulness of the Lord has been tapped into by the perseverance and faith of his people, and the fullness had arrived. All the times of believing, standing firm, and sowing have not been for nothing. Heaven has stored them all. The tipping point is here. As these gifts were opened and hearts, desires, and dreams were fulfilled, I saw hands being raised to heaven, and as glory was being given to him and testimonies exploding, his glory was falling back upon his people. The people of God were seeing his glory in ways they had never seen it before. Stepping into greater fullness was almost kick-starting a season of radical encounters with his glory, the Lord answering the hearts that had cried out like Moses, "Show me your glory." And as these encounters were happening all over the nations began to shine like pure gold with the glory of God. Nations were beginning to see the glory of the Lord as the people of God began to walk in greater fulfillment of his promises to them, but also authority of who they are in him. This is a crucial time and one of the greatest times to be alive. Do not allow the enemy or doubt cheat you out of walking in the fullness of his promises. Open doors, and all he wants to give you. It's not over, it's closer. So there you go.
Whew. Wow. Definitely. It's closer now than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that echoes the word that Judy was given, is that in a blank we'll all understand all the things that we've been through and asked to do. In a blank.
Yeah. Because he's saying, just hang in here, because one day you will understand. Don't worry if you don't understand anything now. Don't give it up. Satan, especially this group, the banana coconut heads, he's gonna come after us viciously, and he may be looking for us for the dates. So Jesus is maybe, you know, giving us this, giving us that, and it's driving the enemy crazy. It's not driving us crazy, because we're in love with Jesus and we trust him and we know that God has it all, and he has told us in scripture, my ways are not your ways are not mine. So don't even begin to try to understand. Like Judy said, when we get up there, and boom, you're going to know what it's all about, and we're probably going to laugh and we'll say, oh, I was, you know. So hang in there no matter what. Keep him company. Be kind. Bring others to him. Plan your day out in the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit for everything, and you can't go wrong. If you're sincere with God, you're going to hear the Holy Spirit. Duh! You know, keep it simple, keep it true, keep it real, and you're going to be okay. As long as God sees your heart that it's for him, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Just do what God wants. Listen, obey him, and be kind and be loving and lift up the people around you, because everybody's going through hell in one way or another. Come on. You can't go out the door without the threat of, you know, something getting you, you know? And people who don't have faith, I don't know how they're doing it. I really don't. They must be close to Harry Carey or something, because I don't know what sustains them. If you don't have God in your heart, you know, nothing's going to make sense. It's just going to be really depressing and take you down. You know, so pray for everybody, pray for conversions, be kind, be faithful to God, listen to him. He's in your heart, you talk to him, he's going to talk to you. Maybe he's going to talk to you through somebody else. Maybe he's going to talk to you through a movie or scripture or a vision or something, but he's going to talk to you. He's not going to leave you standing there. When you're talking to him, he's not looking out the window. You better not be looking out the window either when you're talking to him. Really, you know what I'm saying? Keep it simple. See, Satan, God is not complicated, and he doesn't want complicated creatures. Keep it simple. Keep it family. Keep it love. Keep it sure. You know that God is with you. That's your great consolation. You know God is with you, and it's going to be his will. Whether we can get our arms around it, our heads around it or not, whether we understand it or not, he knows what he's doing. We know what he's doing, whether we understand it or not. So don't give up. Don't be down. Don't be anything. Just keep him comfortable. Jesus, I love you. I don't understand it all, but you have my heart, and I want to do your will, and my love, I love you, and you're everything to me, and I want to be everything to you. Just words like that. That's what he wants to hear. You know, not some long theological something or other or drawn-out prayer that you say like a mechanic, you know. It just from the heart. Whatever it is. You're having dinner, he's invited to dinner. You want to sit down and talk theological? Do it. You want to say I love you and play a song to him? Do it. Just whatever is for the moment, do it. In love with him. Keep it simple. Just for this moment. You don't have the moment that's coming, and you don't have the moment that went behind. You have only right now. So right now, love him with all your heart. And keep it simple. Don't complicate things. We're not going to understand everything. Of course we're not. But we're going to trust him. We're going to trust him. And he knows that. He knows our hearts. So don't get all crazy with stuff. And if Satan gives you any negatives, like I was listening to Joyce, she says, when Satan says, or you have negative thoughts, you say, I'm not going there. You get out of here in the name of Jesus. Just because I'm not entertaining that. And then use the discipline within you to say, Jesus, I want your thoughts, and talk to the Lord about whatever thoughts are going through you that are not of him. You know, and know the word. Get into scripture. Romans, I love the chapter of Romans the most. Because, boy, is that full. Chapter 12 is full of instruction. And Hosea and Corinthians, and there's all kinds of good things in there, the things I read tonight. Just be courageous, be strong, trust God. He knows what he's doing, whether we know it or not, okay? He knows. He knows. He's God, you know, and there's no reason for us to question or have doubts or anything, you know. And I have peace every day. I said, when you get here, you get here. I mean, I'm just going to keep loving on you, and I'm not going to worry about it, you know. You know, I know it's hard. But talk to him. Just say, Jesus, this is bothering me. You know, what can you tell me about this? Like, I'm really upset. Like, this thing, and I've got family stuff, and I've got work. I mean, help me. Tell me, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And he will. He will, because your prayer is sincere. And he loves you. Like the scripture says, if we who are evil know how to give our children good things, if they ask for bread, we're not going to give them a stone. If you ask for wisdom from the Father, he's not going to give you a scorpion. I mean, duh, you know? So keep it simple. Keep strong in your faith and just trust him. Trust him no matter what. We're in the most exciting days right now. Everything is in scripture. Reading scripture is like reading the headlines. He told us about these days. We're very blessed to be the generation that are in these days. So we have to trust more than ever. Somebody once said, the ones before us were like little shrubs. We're the cedars of Lebanon. We're the powerful trees. We're the powerful that have to be powerful, that have to be strong in him. This is not some ego thing. We were assigned for this day and age to be for him and to be strong warriors. I guess warriors is the best thing. Warrior brides. So be a warrior bride and have trust. And let him use you, because he will. Every day you say, what can I do for you? You better believe he's going to tell you. And if it's just sitting looking at him and praying, then that's what you were supposed to do. If you're running out there and preaching like Carol likes to do, that's what you're going to do. Just ask him. Have a talk with him. He'll tell you. We're his. But don't expect the enemy to sleep, because he's going to use every trick in the book. You got to know. Half the battle won is knowing there's a battle. The other half is won knowing what to do, how to win it. And you can only do it in the Holy Spirit. You can only do it in God. You can't do it any other way. Nothing else exists. There is nothing else out there. There's only Jesus. That's it. And just embrace that. Embrace him. And I'm off the soapbox. Birthday preach.
Does anyone else have anything to share? Otherwise, I can close this out in a song.
Okay, honey.
Well, come, Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, yeah.
Jerry?
No, I was just saying, I was going to point out the news headlines, just a couple that are obvious. there's I think, yet another state where they're suspecting that Ebola I'm just saying it like that. E-L-L on the internet chat. Ebola, la, la, la. And what's her name? Paula Marie, yet again, is up to date on the news about the peace treaty. She said what they're doing right now is opening borders somewhere, but the last thing that needs to be done right now is just the signing of the peace treaty. Everything else is in place. All that needs to happen is the signing of the peace treaty. So it's like we're right on the borderline of the borderline right now.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Wow. There you go. You're going to hear more and more, you know, more states. But God has us. So God has us. We're his. Don't get crazy with it. Just pray.
We are protected in him and ready for him to come get us.
Yes, that's the magic word, Lord, come get us. Yes, yes, yes.
And
absolutely.
With that, if no one else has anything, I'll go ahead and play a song and then we'll close out the show.
Okay. Thanks, son.
And the spring.